So good evening everyone, this is The Candid Show brought here by host Sriram and Krishnath is my co-host today. So today we'll be continuing the part 2 of the previous episode which we've been doing on talking about some of the very interesting questions, some of the questions which we don't even have an answer to right now, and we'll be engaging in a very thorough and deep discussion on whether these questions could be answered in the future or why can't we answer these questions, so on and so forth. So to jump right into the episode, I think the very first discussion which I want to kind of put forth today is, Krishna, like how did consciousness emerge first? Because I think this word consciousness, or in the sense that it has confused a lot of people, it has puzzled a lot of scientists from like the very beginning of time actually. And that's mainly because of the reason that we aren't able to clearly understand how consciousness emerges, or in the sense that how did the first person or the first human being show signs of consciousness, because it is such an innate feeling in a human being, right? Because we all are very conscious about our surroundings, we all are extremely conscious things in the world. So, but still we are not able to provide a very clear understanding, we are not able to understand the whole idea of consciousness. So do you ever think we'll get answers to these questions? Because honestly, right now, I'll be talking about one or two theories, I suppose, which kind of give you a very good understanding of consciousness, I suppose. But still, it is puzzling a lot of scientists. Still, we are not able to understand the root idea from which consciousness comes from. So what is your opinion on the idea of consciousness as a whole?
So speaking about consciousness, we have to understand in fact that each and every topic we speak today doesn't have a proper explanation about how it actually started, so like in the first beginning. So like,
definitely.
So speaking about consciousness, you know, the ability of a human to think and do anything, for example for eating or like sleeping, so like, or like doing something, you know, using your kind of the consciousness, so like the so-called consciousness, using your brain to do something that you do every day, so like every aspect of your daily day, everyday life. So like, speaking about its origin, I think is that a group of people are like, I don't think one man or like one woman, so like from nowhere kind of origin and done something kind of that is very different from what other human beings were doing at the very beginning of the evolution of humans. Mm-hmm, so like, mm-hmm. I don't think so, but as a group of people, so now you know, after the languages kind of emerged, so like different languages kind of emerged into mm-hmm. the world, so like mm-hmm. they have the humans kind of would have a better understanding towards each other, so like doing things like a very small thing like they have to pick their food and eat, so mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. for example, so like each and everything kind of for me, if you ask, each and everything kind of came from a group, a collective group mm-hmm. effort, I think. So like mm-hmm. Nothing came from a very single person, so like everything kind of came from a community of a group of people, I think. So yeah,
well, I guess that is a very fair kind of like an understanding or an answer, I suppose, because that does make sense to some extent. Because when you think about it, when you do collect, because a lot of things in history basically, or even in the prehistoric times, right, a lot of hunters gatherers basically hunted in groups. Yeah. So I think the concept of groups was kind of like in the human mentality, because I think that's how we top the food chain, that's how we are the most apex predators right now, because of our ability to have brains and brawns at the same time. But the problem here is, or kind of like the issue which I'm facing, or all of the scientists in the world, is something called as the hand and brain problem. So what this problem is basically is that the brain is just composed of a bunch of particles, right? It does not have anything special. It is just a bunch of protons, neutrons, electrons, etc., etc. So how can something which has no specific, or something which is present outside, even protons and electrons are present outside. So we are also made up of the same particles which is present outside the environment as well. So why does the consciousness emerge only in us and not in other things? I think that's the very biggest question here.
Yeah, this may also take place, this may also introduce a concept of sense, you know, the mm-hmm. sixth sense or seventh sense. So like, we humans have the capability of thinking in a particular format, and we act according to it. So mm-hmm. like, not, you know, you can take a dog or cat or like mm-hmm. any other animal, so like it doesn't have the sense to, you know, to think and act accordingly. So that is, you know, what the that is the actual idea of mm-hmm. sense. Mm-hmm. So like, this is the basic understanding of consciousness from a human point of view, you know. Mm-hmm. So like we have the sixth sense, so like,
yeah.
So to think and act accordingly, so I think that is the solution for audio as I think.
So. Yeah, I guess that is a very fair and kind of like an understanding, I suppose. But the or like the kind of the issue which I am facing here is that why aren't we able to kind of like define this is consciousness, this is not consciousness? Because a lot of brain scans have been going on, a lot of scientists continuously have been doing brain scans, but they never even have been able to find out kind of the like where does it originate, like what part of the brain creates that consciousness, right? Because it is still, we cannot still narrow it down. We've clearly narrowed on all the neural pathways. We are very far ahead in technology. We are able to create a full image scan of the brain.
I think that is a complete mystery, I think. So, like,
that is true. I think
we can't find a perfect answer for that.
So definitely.
Like, we don't have any proof to give a perfect explanation to how consciousness actually evolved. So, like, where is the first point where humans got consciousness? So, like, that is impossible, I think. So, like, we can't find a perfect answer to any kind of the questions so like we are discussing today, Yani.
That is true, but one thing which we can do, at least what you told, is obviously we cannot define when did consciousness come about, or like we cannot give it a specific timeline, but one thing we know for the fact is that we can define or like understand, try to understand what consciousness is. And yeah, that is what like two people in history actually did, two very important people actually. One guy's name was Tononi. So this guy's, which is actually pretty cool theory actually. So what this kind of tells is that Mr. Tononi, what he did was he put forward the postulate, and what this postulate basically tells is that the information or conscious awareness, as you told, consists of basically differentiated and integrated information, right? So to give a simple example, as soon as we see a word, right, we are reading something. So if we come across a word, we do not spell individual parts out. We just look at the word, we tell the word as a whole. So whenever the processing happens in the brain, the entire thing gets processed as once. So the word, part and every part of the word, we read every part of the word, and single parts of the word go to the brain. All of the information is integrated, and then we say out the word, and then we think about the word.
That's how we kind of evolved, I think. So like that is called evolution. So like you kind of keep on practicing, you know.
But I guess evolution kind of means, evolution is not in your control, I suppose. Because
it's not inherited. So like, yeah.
Yeah, that exactly. That's not part of inheritance, because evolution is completely totally different. Evolution kind of comes under the fact of parents and progeny and reproduction.
So like if you see, in that way you can group each and every individual, kind of how we can, you can ask each and every individual about how they kind of you know what, as you told this example about collecting the all the words you come across and putting together a single word and delivering it. So like we can't actually, you know what, that is a mystery, that is what I told is a mystery. So like we can't actually get a perfect answer why, how your brain works, like how accordingly to your brain works to your, you know what, your whatever you kind of grasp into your brain. So like whatever you information you feed to your brain. So like that is, you know what, that is the only part in human body we can't actually, the you can't kind of give a perfect example or a perfect explanation to how it works. I think
true.
So,
yeah. I guess that's kind of like the probably the end conclusion, but also putting forward the very important information, or kind of like a very interesting information which the guy Tononi told was, so anything what you told was, any creature or any, even for electronics for example, if it has the capability to process information and think clearly, in the sense, not think, I suppose, if it has the ability to clearly process information, even that possesses consciousness. So that might sound extremely ridiculous, right? Because obviously a person like us came about. What he told was, he created a computer, a very advanced kind of like a computer at that point of time, and he was arguing that even, so what would you say if you said this computer also has consciousness, right? So obviously by that logic the computer also has consciousness, and for that Tononi actually replied, yes, even the computer has consciousness. That's because we kind of have this mentality towards us,
so
that
like how we program the computers, God has programmed us, I think. So like that is the,
I guess the idea of God, I don't know how to integrate the idea of God into this equation, but
that is the very next question that we are going to,
obviously that is the next question you want to talk about again, but at least for the sake of discussion, I suppose, let's assume that some XYZ person gave us consciousness, right? Because we'll come to the idea of God later.
XYZ person, we term it as God.
So. Obviously, that depends on the individuals. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, maybe I'll come about in this.
Yeah.
I'll talk like in a minute or two. So that was like about the idea of Tononi, I suppose. And like just to finish off this idea, there's this another guy called Graziano, Michael Graziano. And this man has probably the best explanation of consciousness. So to put it into very simple words, what this man told was, the idea of consciousness, the entire idea of conscious awareness, is basically our mind creating an interpretation of us actually thinking things. To give a very simple example, you see a Ferrari car, a red color Ferrari, for example. So instantly your mind kind of focuses on the color red, right? You immediately notice that color red, and you slowly start to look around the car. You notice its shine, its luster. You look at its performance. So right now, what actually your brain is doing is it is creating an easy representation of the vehicle in front of you, because red is not actual color. Red is not something which is actually in the nature. The color red has a specific wavelength for it, right? It has a specific kind of a wavelength and a specific kind of vibration to it. But the color red was something which we gave to it. Red was naturally not part of the car's color. So this way, the brain actually simplifies information and kind of like presents you a schematic representation of what you're thinking. And that is why you do not realize you're actually conscious. Because since your mind is creating a picture of what you're seeing, you are never able to clearly distinguish the line between what is consciousness and what is not. So actually pretty very clear, and like kind of it gives you a very good understanding of what it is. Because when you're consciously focusing on something, you do not realize that you're actually focusing that. It's like your mind is engaged in the task, so you do not realize what's going on in the mind. So I think this is a very interesting thing which I wanted to share. So this is kind of like the idea about consciousness. And again, it is going to be very difficult to understand this consciousness as a whole. As Krishna told, it is definitely a very big mystery. But probably advancements in technology could give an answer to the question, just like the others. So moving on to probably the most controversial question, I suppose, or the most waiting about question, is that how did religion come about? Or like, what is the fundamental idea of religion? Why did a thing called religion even had to be there, right? Like, and obviously the answer is very, very simple, I suppose, but what led people to believe in things or believe in stuff, for example?
Existence of God.
Existence of God, exactly. So what kind of pushed them, or what factor in, like the MM factors or etc. kind of motivated or pushed them to believe, have that belief in God? So what do you think, Krishna? What is your idea on this? Like,
so like, speaking about religion and God, the same thing applies to this topic also, I think. So like, nobody can actually kind of explain how everything is present. So like, you know, there is a God above us. So like, there is a creator. So like, one who created us. So like, many people don't believe it. So like, as you told, apart from religion, many people are nihilist. So like, as we spoke in a particular episode about nihilists. True. So like, there are people, but the existence of God is something that that most of the people think that it is up to the people. So like, up to the community, or like up to the people who believe the religion. So like, there are n number of religion, but you know what, a group of people, at the end of the day, it is a group of people. I am specifically saying it because, so like, that is how we evolve. So like, a group of people kind of have an understanding between them, and they kind of think this is their God. So like, you can see Vishnu, Allah, you can see Jesus. So like, there are n number of gods. So like, many people believe, so like, actually he is present. So like, he is the one who have created us. So like, but at the end of the day, I think that every it is up to everyone to believe whether God is present or not.
True.
Or like, to be a complete nihilist, so to believe in nothing else. So like,
I think that kind of like the fundamental idea, I suppose. It is up to the individual's person, up to the individual's perspective to understand or kind of see
but the question here is about how even the group of people, so like, how at the very first point the human thought that there is some kind of a creator. So like, that is the only question we are discussing today.
Exactly. So to kind of like give, according to my understanding, at least, as you told, I think from the very beginning of time, we human beings have always been a part of the group. Like, the group mentality was always something which we humans have to be credited for.
And we also tend to believe something that is not present.
Exactly.
So like,
that's what I'm actually coming to. Because because of these hunter-gatherers in their time, they had to be really, really smart. They had to be really aware. Their senses were on top of their game. Like, they had the best kind of senses ever. Because again, they had to constantly be on the hunt for animals. They had to go for hunting. They had to develop strategies, etc., etc. So all of this kind of forced them to have this kind of pro-social relationships, I suppose. So the religion might have been a byproduct of actually evolution, but we usually know that evolution usually kind of leads to the kind of like the enhancement of adaptive features, or the features which are necessary for the cultivation, kind of like the advancement of human beings. So why did religion have to be? So the simple answer is that for a group of people, for suppose let's say 200 people to work together, they have to believe in something common. Because you just cannot collect a bunch of people, of 200 people, and ask them to work together. Because none of them have nothing in common. Because they need to have a common agenda to kind of work towards something. And that common agenda was where religion was actually born. Because when a group of people have a common belief on something, something X, Y, Z, some God or anything, that's up to the discussion of the person. if they have belief on one common thing, that one belief is going to push them towards achieving better and better things.
Yeah, but the only doubt for me is that how do you explain about those people kind of they can put forth the argument about the proof and story, like stories, you know, what the existence of God. They have a particular story about how Jesus or Vishnu or true. Allah or so, like they can give a justification. So like there is a story like this is what happened in Mahabharata or like true. Ramayana. So like how can you say it is a fake kind of evolution, so like
exactly.
a story. And they also kind of each and every religion, like I'm not kind of blaming any religion in particular, I don't mention it. So like how you can see people kind of saying that we have proofs about existence of a God. So like how can you say that is fake? So like what can we answer to those people?
Exactly, a very simple kind of way you can understand this concept is that when it comes to religion, you are not supposed to ask questions like this. It might sound really dumb, but asking for proof is simply not right in case of a religion, and I'll tell you why. Because when you take off like the foremost very popular religions like Hinduism and etc. most of these religions kind of have one thing in common, or like three or four things in common. All of them kind of talk about how the world came about to be, right? Like all four or five religions have a way of a story of telling how the world began, how the world is going to end, how you are going to reach a destination, and why, what means are you going to reach the destination. All four of these religions have this one thing, these four things in common. So you can also put it in this way that maybe our ancestors put forth the idea of religion to help the ease of death, the idea of death, because we humans have never been comfortable with the aspect of death, because death always scares us, because we don't understand what it is. And we as human beings are ephemeral creatures. We are extremely scared to die one day, even though, and we have to somehow live past the fear which we have. And religion is the one thing which serves as a solace for most of the people. Because when you believe in stories like this, this kind of helps you to move forward. It helps you to do better things in life. Because if there were no religion, or if there are no religious people in the world, most of the people would just give up. Because the ultimate end of your life is death, so why should I work more? But the fact that religion exists, the fact that there is something after life, or in the sense that eternity, etc., and all of the different religions, kind of gives you that confidence or motivation to kind of push towards life. I think that's kind of like the fundamental idea, like the help which religion does, is that it kind of like gives you a communal responsibility. You feel like you're part of a group. You feel like you can help other people. You feel like you are part of a community, and that aspect is extremely helpful. It was helpful as well during ancient times also. So I think that's... So you just cannot ask a person as to how this story came out to be, because this might be story, this might be fake, or this might be real. I think that is not the point. The point which you kind of have to focus here is that these stories help certain people. These stories have led to the evolution of humans from where we are right now. These stories have continuously been built upon by a lot of people, and there is like... Questioning those stories seems like questioning your existence, or questioning the route from which where you came. So that's kind of like the kind of like idea of to answer to your question, I suppose, I guess.
It is also controversial in one point of view.
Definitely. Yeah. And I have to make this sound very unbiased as well, right? Because again, if I am extremely biased about this, it's going to sound very one-sided. I'm trying to be as unbiased as possible. And I think this is the general idea of about...
A general point of what we think.
That's it.
Yeah.
It's just opinion,
just a discussion and opinion.
That's all.
About
so,
how, you know what, the, all the topics is... we speak in a third person point of view. So like, yeah.
So I guess anything else you want to add on this, Krishna? Any other things?
So like, speaking about obviously about religion and something. So like at the end of the day, you know what, each and every topic we discuss today is about how a person, how the person thinks, or like how he believes it. So like about the existence of God, or like consciousness, or like anything. So like you may have n number of theories, but what you believe at the end of the day is something that
obviously
we can conclude
true.
About. Yeah.
I guess that, as Krishna told, it's all up to the individual's perspective to believe in things which they want to. But I guess the scientists kind of have this understanding to develop a unified field of physics, a unified theory. So an idea which envelops all of these concepts into one single theorem. I think that is kind of like the most of the theoretical physicists have this idea that they want to develop one full theory which explains all of the questions which you kind of
but
answered.
We can't expect everyone to believe it right here.
If you have solid proof to that one thing, why wouldn't anybody believe it?
Yeah, but some people will stick to their religion and they will support it. So like, yeah,
I guess obviously to those sort of people, you just have to leave them alone. So like, if they want to believe in something, if they don't want to believe,
it's up to them to believe or not. Yeah,
it's up to them. So we cannot force someone's belief, we cannot coerce someone to think this way or that way, I suppose. So I guess that will be the end of the discussion, I guess. So regarding the YouTube side of things, we'll be giving all of the descriptions, all of the links of various things in our YouTube description. Please check us out. And regarding Spotify, please check us out on Spotify as well. And regarding Sounder, the link, Sounder link is also given in the YouTube description. Please check that out.
And we have also added the Clubhouse kind of, created a group in Clubhouse.
Yeah.
So like named Candid, the Candid Show. So like, we will also give the link of the Clubhouse in the description. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll be frequently, if we have enough number of people following our group on Clubhouse, we'll probably be conducting some sort of a session where
we'll
discuss
it. Interacting with random people. So
yeah,
like,
so I guess that is one thing which you could derive out of it. So I guess that is the end of this episode, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you.